ओम जनित मिनंद जना जना सलकया चक्षु सुमिलतां तस्मै श्री गुरुवे नमः। श्री चैतन्य मनोभीष्टं स्थापितं जैन भूतले स्वयं रूपकदमयं ददति सर्वनाथिका पञ्चकौपतुभ्यश्च पिबसन्नभेभ्यश्च पतितृणां भवनेभ्यो नमो नमः। We're reading from the prayers of the demigods to Krishna, who is in the womb of Mother Devaki, Gaurava Stuti. And we've read most of the prayers. First the demigods, Lord Brahma, Lord Shiva, so many sages, Devala, Narada, and they explained that although Krishna was in the womb, nevertheless, he is still the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and everything in existence rests upon him. His being in the womb is nothing at all like our being in the womb. He is always transcendental. He is free from the laws of material nature. The laws of material nature bind the tiny jivatma. Daivi shugunamayi mama maya duratyaya mameva te papadyante. If one surrenders unto Krishna, mayam evam tarantite, he can go beyond the modes of material nature. So if by surrendering to Krishna one can go beyond the modes of material nature, then it is clear that Krishna, the one who surrenders to him, one is free, then how could he be within the modes of material nature? How could he be within the realm of Maya? He is not. He is pure, free, spiritual. He is the controller of the laws of nature, even when he's in the womb. So the demigods first explained his position, and then they explained that one should surrender unto him, take full shelter of his lotus feet. Then the demigods explained how suras, devas, they explained how the incarnations come to this world. And they are very hard to understand. Why? Because there is a tendency to think that the Lord, when he comes to the material world, because he has form, there is a tendency to think that he is a person, an ordinary person like us. But no, even though he comes to the material world, even though he has form, he or any of the avatars, any of the incarnations, still he is always transcendental. But how could one know this? So, bhaktimam navijananti evam yas chasmi tadvata, only by bhakti, this is what's being described. Only by devotional service, only when one pleases Krishna, when one pleases God, then by his grace, by his divine grace, then one can understand. So that is the difference between bhakti yoga and the other processes such as jnana, karma, tapasya, this and that. The difference is that one practicing jnana yoga or any other practice, he is going by his own strength, and bhakti, on the other hand, depends upon the grace of Krishna. So the devotee, not like, I'll do this service for you and therefore I'll get your grace and therefore I'll work hard, and I'll, like flattery or something like that. It's not like that. But naturally a devotee wishes to serve Krishna because he's attracted to Krishna. He's gradually or fully falling in love with Krishna. This is the natural condition the natural consciousness of every living entity. Jivera Srupoi Krishner Nityadas. Nityadas, we are eternally Krishna's servants. But not just servant, because in this world there is so much serving going on, but there is never love attached to that service. Attached to the service in the material world, what is there? There is just want is business. I'll do some service for you, but I want to get something. But a devotee is not like that. His service is seva. Bhajate mam ananyavak. Unswerving devotion. And naturally, if one has love or devotion for someone, service automatically comes, wanting to please that person. It's just natural. So the demigods will continue with their prayers. No one else but a devotee can understand the transcendental form of the Lord when he comes, incarnates in this world. No one will have a clear understanding that yes, his form is eternal. No one can understand this other than through devotion. Oops. The demigods, Lord Brahma and the other demigods, explain that devotees who are absorbed in you, remember he's offering prayers to the embryo of Krishna within the womb. Devotees who are absorbed in you, even while they're acting, doing things, engaged in activities, they're on the transcendental platform. Krishna's on the transcendental platform, and one always thinking about Krishna is also on the transcendental platform. So here is text 37. Even while engaged in various activities, devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet, and who constantly hear, chant, contemplate, and cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms, are always on the transcendental platform, and thus they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. What did that verse say? Anyone remember anything? Other than those who have a book? Okay. Now that you know that you're dealing with a teacher, I'm going to read it again. Even while engaged in various activities, got that? Okay. Devotees whose minds are completely absorbed at your lotus feet, even while they're engaged in different activities, devotees whose minds are absorbed where? Where? Yes, at Krishna's lotus feet. The minds are absorbed in Krishna with devotion. And, so they're absorbed in always thinking of Krishna and constantly hear, chant, and contemplate and cause others to remember. They hear, they chant, they think about, they contemplate, and they cause others to remember your transcendental names and forms. They are always on the transcendental platform. They are free from the shackles of the material world by this process, even though they're engaged in activities. Their minds are fully absorbed in Krishna. This is wonderful. They are transcendental. And thus, because they are transcendental, they can understand the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless one is transcendental, unless one's consciousness is very high, one can't understand Krishna. Prabhupada's purport. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. So what is explained in this verse? Pretty good. Yes. This verse explains how bhakti yoga can be practiced.
Guruji, if we want to be a true devotee, we should put our mind first in devotion, or we should put our heart first?
Heart and mind means the same thing. Yes. The mind will go where the heart is. In Sanskrit, the words sometimes are interchangeable. Chitta. So many things like that. You can't put your mind on Krishna unless there is love. Try it. It doesn't work unless there is love. But those who you love, do you think about your mother every day? Every day? Does someone force you to think about her? No, it's natural. How bhakti yoga can be practiced is explained in this verse. Srila Rupa Goswami has said that anyone who has dedicated his life to the service of the Lord, by his activities, his mind, and his words, kamana manasagira, may stay in any condition of life, nikala sasvi apavastasu, and yet is no longer actually conditioned, but is liberated, jivan mukta suchite. So it doesn't, like Arjuna is the example, he was a warrior, a killer. That was his business. But yet he was pure and transcendental, because his devotion was fully, his consciousness was fully absorbed in Krishna. And his actions were to please Krishna. So being a devotee doesn't mean retiring from activities. Prabhupada makes this point so many times in his lectures and tapes. It doesn't mean giving up one's activities. It means dedicating one's activities to Krishna. Krishna kamarpanam. And then surrendering to Krishna, acting as Krishna wants you to act. That is devotion. Acting for his pleasure. So even though such a devotee is in a material body, he has nothing to do with this body, for he is transcendentally situated. Narayana paraksave nakutastanam bibhyati. Because a devotee is engaged in transcendental activities, he's not afraid of being materially embodied. He has no fear. Or whatever situation he's in, because he has so much devotion, because he's always with Krishna wherever he is, it doesn't make a difference if he's in heaven or hell. Nor does he desire to be in one or the other. He just wants to remember Krishna and serve him with devotion. Illustrating this liberated position, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu prayed, Mama Janmani Janmanishvare Bhavantad Bhaktir Haitiki Tvaye. All I want is your causeless devotional service in my life, birth after birth. So this is the amazing consciousness of a devotee. He's desireless. He has no selfish, self-centered desire whatsoever. Not the slightest tinge of a self-centered desire. But he's full of desires. But none of them are self-centered. His desires are all focused on pleasing Krishna. This is pure devotional service. So this consciousness, Krishna consciousness, awards so much bliss to the devotee that's fully focused on pleasing Krishna, that he doesn't care for anything else. He doesn't care for swarga, heaven, narak, hell, liberation, apavarga. He doesn't care for Nadanam Najanam Nasundarim Kavitam Va Jagadishakamani. He doesn't care for anything. He doesn't need anything. He's so satisfied. By what? By loving Krishna. This is what every living entity is longing for. Even if a devotee, by the supreme will of the Lord, Prabhupada continues, takes birth in the material world, because most people want to get out, holy people want to get out of the material world, because they understand the nature of the material world. The material world's nature, it is suffering. It is suffering. Everything is temporary. So much suffering, so many desires for happiness, but the desires are unfulfilled. So many dreams, only if I do this, only if I get this, only if I have this, then I'll be happy. But they are dreams only. The material award doesn't, a world doesn't award the happiness, it awards misery. But a devotee doesn't even want to get out of the material world. His desires are simply focused on pleasing Krishna. If Krishna wants me out of the material world, I'll go out of the material world. If Krishna wants me to be in this world, I stay in this world. Whether I'm in heaven or hell, in the spiritual world, in the material world, I'll serve Krishna wherever I am. This is incredible consciousness. Incredible consciousness. Such consciousness can only be attained by Krishna's mercy. So therefore the devotee, he tries to please Krishna and Krishna awards him with realizations. Even if a devotee by the supreme will of the Lord takes his birth in this material world, he continues his devotional service. When King Bharata made a mistake and in his next life became a deer, his devotional service did not stop, although some slight chastisement was given to him because of his negligence. Narada Muni says that even if one falls from the platform of devotional service, he is not lost, whereas non-devotees are lost entirely because they are not engaged in service. Bhagavad Gita 9.14 therefore recommends that one always chant, always engage at least in chanting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra. Satatam kirtayantam mam yatantas cha dvidavrata. Dvidavrata means fixed firm vow. Satatam, always, kirtayanto, to whom? Mam, Krishna, he's speaking. Yatantas cha dridavata, with fixed determination, always engaged in kirtan. Namashyantas cha mam bhaktya nitya yukta upasate, always engaged in service. Always chanting my glories, endeavoring with great determination, bowing down before me. The great souls perpetually worship me with devotion. One should not give up the process of devotional service, which is performed in 9 different ways. Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam, Parasevanam. The most important process is hearing, Shravanam, from the Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, the spiritual master, the saintly acharyas, and the Vedic literatures. Sadhu, Shastra, Guru, Vakya, Chitete, Kuriya, Aikya. One should not hear the commentaries and explanations of non-devotees, for this is strictly forbidden by Srila Sanatana Goswami, who quotes from the Padma Purana, Avaishnava mukha girnam putam hari katam ritam shravanam naiva naiva kartavyam sarpo chistam yata paya. We should strictly follow this injunction and never try to hear from the Mayavadis, impersonalists, voidists, politicians, or so-called scholars. Strictly avoiding such inauspicious association, we should simply hear from pure devotees. Srila Rupa Goswami therefore recommends Sri Guru Parasraya, one must seek shelter at the lotus feet of a pure devotee who can be one's guru. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu advises that a guru is one who strictly follows the instructions of Bhagavad Gita. Yari deka tari kaha Krishna upadesh. a juggler, a magician, or one who speaks nonsense as an academic career is not a guru. Rather, a guru is one who presents Bhagavad Gita, Krishna Upadesh, Krishna's instructions as it is. Shravana is very important. One must hear from the Vaishnava sadhu, guru and shastra. Long purport, but very important and very powerful. The word kriyasu, meaning by manual labor or by work, is important in this verse. One should engage in practical service to the Lord. Now listen to this. In our Krishna's consciousness movement, all our activities are concentrated upon distributing Krishna literature. This is Prabhupada's desire. This is very important. One may approach any person and induce him to read Krishna literature so that in the future he also may become a devotee. Such activities are recommended in this verse. Kriyasu yas tvat sharanara vindayo. Such activities will always remind the devotees of the Lord's lotus feet. By fully concentrating on distributing books for Krishna, one is fully absorbed in Krishna. This is samadhi. Very direct statement by Prabhupada. You very rare to find such a direct statement directly in his books and letters, yes. And this is one of written in the last few months, last year of his life. Not of his life, but more. He had his manifest pastimes. Text 38. O Lord, the demigods continue. We are fortunate. Why are they fortunate? Because the heavy burden of the demons upon this earth is immediately removed by your appearance. Indeed, we are certainly fortunate. For we shall be able to see upon this earth and in the heavenly planets the marks of lotus, conchal, club and disc that adorn your lotus feet. These are the particular markings that are on Krishna's feet. Krishna's feet has actually so many markings. It's a barley corn, a goad for driving an elephant, and the club, so many things, disc on Krishna's lotus feet. So the demigods are saying, so soon, we're so lucky because we're going to be able to see the marks. How will they see the marks of Krishna's lotus feet? They can either look at them directly, or they can see them as they imprint the soft dust of Braja. Because everywhere else other than Braja, Krishna wears shoes. He's a city boy in Dwarka, in Mathura. But in Braja, Krishna walks around without his shoes, like everyone does in Perth. Krishna walks around without his shoes, and his lotus feet mark the soft dust of Vrindavan. And everyone in Vrindavan has so much affection and respect for Krishna's lotus footprints that no one will walk over them, no one will step on them, even the animals. Everyone respects the lotus footprints of Krishna. And even to this very day, you can see the lotus footprints of Krishna in Vrindavan. Did you know that? You knew that? How did you know that? Ah. You've seen?
No, I know very well about the Vrindavan, but I don't know the footprints.
Yes, would you like to see the lotus footprints of Krishna?
Yeah.
In Vrindavan?
No, I've seen after closing my eyes.
Have you seen?
Yes.
Where?
Different temples.
Different temples, yes. Where else?
And also a garden, in the garden, just nearest to the temple of Krishna.
There's only 5,000 temples of Krishna, or 10,000 there.
Very beautiful gardens.
Yes.
I don't know about that.
Has anyone seen the lotus footprints made by Krishna, actually? Huh?
Yes.
Yes. And? Yeah, on the top of a hill where Krishna used to go and herd the cows. What forest? In Kamavan. Where else? Govardhan. Yes. Because Krishna would play his flute and the rocks would melt in ecstasy. And they would leave his footprints there. This is Vrindavan. So the demigods were looking forward to seeing the lotus feet of Krishna. Purport. The soles of the Lord's lotus feet are marked with Shankha, Chakra, Gada, Padma, Kansha, Disc, Club, and Lotus, and also by a flag and a thunderbolt. When Krishna walks on this earth or in the heavenly planets, these marks are visible wherever he goes. Vrindavan Dham is a transcendental place because of Krishna's walking on this land frequently. So you've been to Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Why? When will you go back to India next?
Probably
next year. Probably. Whenever you go next. Where do you live?
Madhya Pradesh.
Will you go to Vrindavan? Can you catch a train and go to Vrindavan?
Yes.
You live in Madhya Pradesh, so when you come... When your plane lands, where do you land? In Delhi?
Jaipur.
Oh. Well, then you go to Mayapur. Okay. You have to go to Mayapur first before you can go to Vrindavan. Have you been to Mayapur?
No.
Okay. Please, you go to Mayapur and go to Vrindavan. You'll be so happy if you go to Vrindavan. When a Kuru went to Vrindavan, so the inhabitants of Vrindavan were fortunate to see these marks here and there. When Akura went to Vrindavan to take Krishna and Balaram away to the festival arranged by Kansa, upon seeing the marks of the Lord's lotus feet on the ground of Vrindavan, he fell down and began to groan in ecstasy, began to roll in the dust of Vrindavan when he saw Krishna's lotus footprints. These marks are visible to devotees who receive the causeless mercy of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The demigods were jubilant, not only because the appearance of the Supreme Lord would do away with the burdensome demons, but also because they would be able to see upon the ground the transcendental marks from the soles of the Lord's lotus feet. The gopis always thought of the Lord's lotus feet when he was walking in the pasturing ground. And as described in this previous verse, simply by thinking of the Lord's lotus feet, the gopis were fully absorbed in transcendence. Avishta chaitana bhavaya kalpate. Like the gopis, one who is absorbed always in thought of the Lord is beyond the material platform and will not remain in this material world. So what keeps one from not absorbing his mind in Krishna and his lotus feet? Everyone knows for themselves what the problem is, at least. We have so many other desires. But the gopis of Vrindavan had no other desires. Their only desire was to love and serve Krishna. But because we have material desires, we have to stay in the material world because we are absorbed in that. So we have to stay in the material world. But the process of getting out of the material world is to absorb one's consciousness in Krishna, especially by hearing about Krishna and chanting Krishna's holy names. Then, by that process of being absorbed in transcendence, then one can understand the Supreme Personality of God, and one's consciousness is completely purified, and all material desires, they go. It is our duty, therefore, always to hear, chant, and think about the Lord's lotus feet. as actually done by Vaishnavas who have decided to live in Vrindavan always and think of the Lord's lotus feet 24 hours a day. Just desiring to do that, we may not be capable, but desiring that instead of desiring so many other things, our minds wander all day long and daydream. How many, we want this and I'm going to do this and I don't want that. So if our desiring can be changed from the material realm to desiring on this level, when will that day be mine, Bhaktivinoda Thakur prays? Kabe habe bolo se din amar. When will I be able to wander around Vrindavan, wander around Navadvip chanting, hey, oh, Gaur Hari. When will I be able to just focus my mind on Krishna? When will I, with a humble heart, be able to chant offenselessly Krishna's names? When will I, with a humble heart, be able to go from one person to the next and beg them to chant Krishna's names? When, oh when, will that day be mine? Kabe habe bolo se dinama aparada ruchi shudanama ruchi. You know?
Little bit.
Good. Little bit is great. Wonderful. Wonderful song. This is the lamentation of a devotee or the desire, even though he may feel just like a materialistic man who is poor. He's thinking, when will that day be mine? When my room will be filled with gold and jewels and dollar bills. When, oh, when will that day be mine? Cars and stereo sets and nana. I will have all these in plenty. When, oh, when will this... But the devotee is not thinking like that. He's thinking, oh, when will I be able to call out Krishna, Krishna with a full heart? With no other desires, only to be a loving servant of Krishna. So that is, that even thinking like that is purifying. Text 39. The demigods pray that Krishna appears. So someone could say, well, ask, why does he come and mark this land with his footprints? It is extraordinary. It is not ordinary like our coming. Last minute. Punch minute. 8 o'clock. We'll end. Okay? No problem. No problem. 8 or 8:02, maybe at most.
Transport that a little bit problem.
Oh, what time does the train come?
No train today.
So you walk?
No, we are relying on the buses.
Oh.
So just don't know.
Where do you live?
Perth. East Perth.
Yeah. And what time does the bus come?
No idea.
8:20.
8:20. And what time do you have to leave here? To get there at 8:20. At the latest,
we'll walk home
to East Perth. Hari Bol. No, you can take the bus, no problem.
This policy is for him.
Huh?
This policy for him, not for.
He will walk without shoes all the way, just chanting Hari Bol, Hare Krishna. This is nice. Good. Or you can stay here, no problem, for the night. We'll take care of you, we'll feed you.
My family is a permanent member of ISKCON Society.
Where?
Yeah, in Vrindavan.
In Vrindavan?
Yeah.
Are they there now?
No.
Where are they?
They are in Delhi.
Oh, how nice. And you're from Delhi?
Yeah.
So Madhya Pradesh, Delhi and?
Delhi.
Delhi. Where in Delhi?
Model town.
I never heard of that one.
It's an old Delhi.
It's old Delhi.
Just nearest to ISBT.
Yes, I know where that is. Why do they call it model town? But they're not model.
Are you heard about it?
No, anyway, wait a second. Yes. RK pudding? You know? Okay. Have you been to Jamuna Naga though?
No.
Oh.
Jamuna Naga is in the Haryana?
Yeah.
Jamuna Naga.
Yeah. Okay. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
O Supreme Lord, you are not an ordinary living entity appearing in this material world as a result of fruit of activities. Therefore, your appearance or birth in this world has no other cause than your pleasure potency. Sambhavam yatma mayaya. Similarly, the living entities who are part of you have no cause for miseries like birth, death, and old age, except when these living entities are conducted by your external energy. So the cause of all miseries is this maya. Maya Shakti. All miseries, birth, death, old age, and disease. We'll read the second half of Prabhupada's purport here. When the living entities come to this world for material enjoyment, they are entangled in karma and karma fall by the Lord's illusory energy. But if one seeks shelter at the Lord's lotus feet, one is again situated in his original liberated state. As stated here, Krityatastvai Abhayasrayatmani. One who seeks shelter of the lotus feet of the Lord is always fearless. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Very interesting. One who seeks shelter. It doesn't even say one who has attained shelter. One who seeks shelter is desiring, looking for shelter at the Lord's lotus feet. Is fearless, always fearless. Because we are dependent on the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we should give up the idea that without Krishna we can enjoy freedom in this material world. This idea is the reason we have become entangled. Now it is our duty to seek shelter again at the Lord's lotus feet. This shelter is described as abhaya, or fearless. Since Krishna is not subject to birth, death, old age, or disease, and since we are part and parcel of Krishna, we are also not subject to birth, death, old age, and disease. But we have become subject to these illusory problems because of our forgetfulness of Krishna and our position as his eternal servants. Jivarasurupai Krishna Nityadas. Therefore, if we practice devotional service by always thinking of the Lord, always glorifying Him, and always chanting about Him, as described in text 37, Srinvan Granan Samas Samsmaram Yams Chachintaya, we will be reinstated in our original constitutional position and thus be saved. The demigods, therefore, encourage Devaki not to fear Kamsa, but to think of the Supreme Personality of Godhead who is already within her womb. Such wonderful, powerful purport, so instructive. We have two more prayers. O Supreme Controller, your Lordship previously accepted incarnations as a fish, a horse, a tortoise, Nrisingadeva, a boar, a swan, Lord Ramachandra, Parsaram, and amongst the demigods, Vamanadeva, to protect the entire world by your mercy. Now please protect us again by your mercy, by diminishing the disturbances in this world. O Krishna, best of the Yadus, we respectfully offer our obeisances unto you. Prabhupada's short purport. In every incarnation, the Supreme Personality of Godhead has a particular mission to execute. And this was true in his appearance as the son of Devaki in the family of the Yadus. Thus all the demigods offered their prayers to the Lord, bowing down before him, and requested the Lord to do the needful. We cannot order the Supreme Personality of Godhead to do anything for us. We can simply offer him our obeisances as advised in the Bhagavad Gita. Manmana bhavamad bhakto madhyaji mam namaskuru, and pray to him for annihilation of dangers. O Mother Devaki, by your good fortune and ours, the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself, with all his plenary portions, such as Baladev, is now within your womb. Therefore, you need not fear Kamsa, who has decided to be killed by the Lord. Your eternal son, Krishna, will be the protector of the entire Yadu dynasty. Prabhupada's short purport. The words Parapumam Amsena signify that Krishna is the original Supreme Personality of Godhead. This is the verdict of the Shastra, Krishna Stu Bhagavan Sayam. Thus the demigods assured Devaki, your son is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and he is appearing with Baladev, his plenary portion. He will give you all protection and kill Kamsa, who has decided to continue his enmity towards the Lord and thus be killed by him. After thus offering prayers to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Lord Vishnu, the Transcendence, all the demigods with Lord Brahma and Lord Shiva before them returned to their homes in the heavenly planets. So that was the final verse text. We'll read from the second paragraph of Prabhupada's purport. The word Kukshi Gata, meaning within the womb of Devaki, has been discussed by Srila Jiva Goswami in his Krama Sandarbha commentary. Since it was said at first that Krishna was present within the heart of Vasudeva and was transferred to the heart of Devaki, Srila Jiva Goswami writes, how is it that Krishna was now in the womb? He replies that there is no contradiction. From the heart of the Lord, he can go to the from the heart, the Lord can go to the womb, or from the womb, he can go to the heart. Indeed, he can go or stay anywhere. As confirmed in the Brahma Samhita, Andantarasta paramanusayantarastam govindamari purusham tamaham bhajami. The Lord can stay wherever he likes. Devaki, therefore, in accordance with the desire of her former life, now had the opportunity to see the seek the benediction of having the Supreme Personality of Godhead as her son, Devaki Nandan. Thus in the Bhaktivedanta purports of the 10th canto, 2nd chapter of the Srimad Bhagavatam, entitled Prayers by the Demigods for Lord Krishna in the Womb. At Ekam. But one thing, the only way we'll let you go is if you come for breakfast on Sunday. Breakfast is at 9, but you have to come a little earlier so we can sing Hare Krishna. Come at 7:30 like that. 7:30.
Definitely.
Okay? If Krishna allows. Definitely. Okay. You too?
Yeah.
Okay. This is special. You're cooking. Where's Rasa? Rasa Vigra Prabhu is cooking. So have a nice feast. Okay. We'll stop here. Any questions or comments?
Muri cooks on Sunday.
But not this. Rasa is cooking, I think. Yes or no? Or not? Murli, you're cooking on Sunday? Okay. Very special. Any questions or comments? Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Sri Krishna ki jai, Gaur Bhaktivinoda ki jai.